says in verse 16, it says, now when while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and notice, and in the marketplace daily with them that met with him. So I want you to notice the Apostle Paul got out amongst the people. He got out amongst the people, and he talked to them. It even says he disputed with them, and it says daily, in the market daily. My wife and I were in Greece last year, and we were in Athens, where Paul was here, and we went up onto Mars Hill. You'll see that mentioned in verses 19. It's called Areopagus, and Mars Hill in verse number 22. We went up on Mars Hill and the Pantheon and saw the Acropolis there, and then Mars Hill, where the Apostle Paul confronted these idolatrous people and talked to them. And what a great message that he gave all the way down through the end of the chapter. Not many listened to him, but a few did. And their names are given in verse number 34. And so we stood there right on Mars Hill, and our guide said, now if you look down into the valley here, you'll see the marketplace. And he showed us the marketplace, and he said, the really nice building down there is the old marketplace. And the Americans came and have renovated it completely to restore it to its original state. And although we didn't have time to go down there, it was just amazing to me as I thought about, you know, that's the very place where the Apostle Paul met with these people daily and disputed with them and tried to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He got out amongst the people. And so we were able to get down there, but they had it kind of fenced off and we weren't able to be there. But these passages of Scripture come alive when you're actually there and you see them with your own eyes. And I should have brought it up, but I have pictures in my office of the marketplace restored and where Paul was out there witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, some 30 years ago, a preacher from Ohio, Pastor John Gardner, was reading this portion of Scripture, and he said, you know, we need to be out in the marketplaces of our country and meet with people daily and try to win them to Christ. And so he began a ministry of going to county fairs and state fairs, and that ministry developed into what's called Amazing Grace Missions. And we're very familiar with that. We've been working with them, I think, for 10 years out at the Hamburg Fair, or maybe more, I'm not sure. And I don't know how many years this will be at the Dunkirk Fair, but I want to talk about the fair evangelism today and just do some demonstrations, and I want to invite you to get involved this year in this soul-winning outreach. I think it's a great way to get your feet wet in regards to evangelism and witnessing, and hopefully I can just kind of paint a mental picture of you what's going to happen out there starting next week. We need your help. This is the first year we do not have anyone coming from Amazing Grace to help us at the Dunkirk Fair, and so we're going to supply all of the workers from our church. We've also invited another church that's actually moving into Fredonia to help us. We haven't heard back from them. We hope that they will help. But Brother John Gardner was reading this portion of Scripture, and he came up to verse 17, Acts 17, 17, and that was the verse that he used to start the ministry of Amazing Grace Missions. Now, Amazing Grace Missions is in every single state now, all 50 states of the United States of America, and I don't know how many foreign countries. I know they're into African countries and Filipino countries and anywhere where they have fairs or carnivals. There are believers who are setting up tents and having booths and using that platform to witness to the people that go by. And what a precious experience it's been for us all these years. And we'd like to invite you to join us and to get involved and to be a worker. Now, we go, for instance, out to the Dunkirk Fair a week from tomorrow. We'll be out there. And we will start at noon, and we will go till midnight. And we divide the day up into four sections, from noon till 3, from 3 till 6, 6 till 9 p.m., and 9 p.m. till midnight, to have a people in the tent. And we will always be having people there who are experienced workers, experienced soul winners. So even if you don't know what you're doing, you can go and just observe. And usually, after just a few minutes of observation, people really get into it, and they like to see what the Lord will do. Because we've been in Dunkirk for all these years now, we're beginning to be established there. People know we're there. People expect us to be there. And we're starting to see experiences where people are coming to us who are searching for the Lord and coming into the tent. And I don't remember the numbers. I think over 150 last year came into the tent and actually filled out decision cards that they had received Christ as their Savior. Only God knows their hearts. But they were counseled with. We shared the gospel with them. And many others were counseled with and didn't accept Christ, but the seed was planted in their hearts. And then at a rate of about 1,000 a day, we pass out gospel tracts to people who are walking by. And so it's a great time. We have a 20-foot by 20-foot tent on the thoroughfare from the main entrance into the carnival area. It's a pretty well-trafficked area. We kind of wish we could have a better location out on the maybe midway or something, but they don't allow any really vendors or people out there. But we're grateful for what we have. And this Saturday, about 4 o'clock, we're going to leave here with the truck or van or whatever we can find, packed up with all the materials, and we're going to go out and set up the tent. And we would love to have your help setting up the tent. I'll be going out myself. We do get about 120 passes, so you can get in for free. You don't have to pay the gate costs. You probably have to pay your parking. But we'd love to have you go in and work with us. Now, 20 by 20 is probably about from here to the just past the Christian flag there, that wall and back. It's a pretty good-sized tent, and this is much bigger than what we have at the Hamburg Fair. At the Hamburg Fair, all we have is a 10 by 10 booth, which is one quarter the size of what we have out at the Dunkirk Fair. Now, I would like us to have a much, much more attractive tent this year than what we have had in the past. And so many of you brought things to Bible school this week, serapas and pottery and vines, plants, plastic plants, and so on and so forth. And some of you are really, really excellent interior decorators. And we like to keep a lot of that supplies and maybe put the serapas all around the walls and the pottery and the plants and so on and so forth, and just make it a very, very attractive, appealing display. And so please, let's have some of you get that going through your minds right there, and we'll go out there Saturday at 4 o'clock if you could join us. And if you're good at that stuff, please come. We're actually looking for some like grass type of carpet to put down over the area, so it's not just real grass, but maybe some kind of a carpet 20 by 20 area. If you know of anything, let us know. And we want to make it more attractive. You know, in past years, all we had was basically the white walls and a couple of scripture verses hanging down, and it wasn't that attractive. But we'd like to do that this year, so please think about that. I'm not an interior decorator type of guy. But I'll go out with you, and we'll get in the gate. And then whatever we don't get done Saturday, we can go back Sunday afternoon or early Monday morning and make it look sharp and first class for our Lord and attractive, so people go and buy and say, wow, and grab their attention. It might just bring people in. One of the things we do, we have them ordered. We haven't had them come in, but some of you are familiar with little tracts called Smileys. I don't have any here. We've ordered them back in June. We've ordered about 15,000 of them. We're hoping they'll be in this week. This is something similar to them. These have a red heart on them. We're going to be using these at the Eden Corn Festival parade this year. We got about 4,000 of these already stamped, and we're going to have a float in the parade that has to deal, this says, "Let not your heart be troubled," and that's going to be our theme this year. And so again, some of you that know how to do floats and whatever, let's have the nicest float in the parade. We haven't won first place in a few years here, but we've been trying. We've won first place in years past, but maybe we could have a first place float this year. If some of you really get going, let not your heart be troubled. But anyways, we have little booklets this size that have a yellow smiley face on them. And they're really, really cute. All right? People love them. And we give these out at about 1,000 a day at the Dunkirk Fair. And people stand on either side of the tent. And just as people go by, you just hold one out. You can't stand out in the aisleway. You got to stand in the tent. That's the rules. You can't be blocking people. You can't be running out in front of people and stopping them and say, "Here, I want you to read this," or we're going to get thrown out. We don't want to get thrown out. So we got to stay in the tent. But they have smiles on them. And sometimes you can just say, "Hey, have a smile," and people think that's funny. And they'll take them. And little kids love them. Little kids, one kid will get one, another kid won't, another kid will run back and say, "Can I have one?" So you give him one. And they have the gospel of Jesus Christ in them. And people take these home by the thousands and read them. And there's been many testimonies over the years of people who have actually accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. So if you don't know how to do anything, if you don't know how to witness, if you don't know how to be a soul winner, you could come and at least do that. And sometimes that will slow people down. Sometimes people will start looking through it, or we got other gospel tracts I'll show you in a minute. And this is something very easy that you can do. While somebody is stopping and looking through it, you can say something like this. That will tell you, while they're looking at it, just saying that inside of there is a little Bible study that will tell you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven someday. And then here's all you got to do. You ask this question. Do you have that assurance? That's all you got to say. They'll answer you. And then based on their answer, you can sometimes get into a soul-winning conversation with them. Isn't that easy? Someone's looking at a tract and say, inside of there's a Bible study that tells you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. Do you have that assurance? Wait for them to answer. And it's one of the simplest things. I was doing that last week out on soul-winning. I talked to a girl named Michelle. She didn't get saved, but she was sitting in the truck, and I gave her one of these, and I said, "That'll tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. Do you have that assurance?" She said, "No, I sure don't." And I was able to share the gospel, or some of the gospel with her, and then we had an interruption that ended the conversation, but it's so easy to say. Any one of us can learn that. Sharing the gospel might be a little bit more complex, but any one of us can do that. Now, sometimes people just take and go by. A lot of people are going to say no, okay, when they go by and you hand them something, they're just going to say no or something like that. It's not because they're rejecting us. It's just because they're walking around the fair and there's 50, 60, 100 vendors trying to give them stuff. And they're saying no to everybody because they don't want to walk around the fair with a bunch of literature. All right, so don't take that personally. The booth usually separates people. When people are walking down the entranceway or walking out and they see our booth, if they don't want anything to do with us, you'll see them cross over. They'll go way around us. Okay, the booth itself usually separates the people that don't want to hear. Once in a while, people will come in and want to argue from cults and so on and so forth. One of the things we do, so you won't have problems with those people, is we make everybody that works at the booth sign a form before you work of rules and regulations of workers, and one of those says that you will not argue with people about their religion and that we're just there to share the gospel. And so it's very easy to get out of those situations. When they come up, you just say, "Sir, to be able to work here, I have to sign a form that said I won't argue with people about their religion or what they believe. We're just here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people." And that usually ends the conversation right there. And because we're not there to argue with people. And uh, so You don't have to worry about that. A lot of people will come by. Now, others will come by who are already saved. They'll come by and they'll want to fellowship with you for an hour. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We can just say, hey, thank you for stopping by. Pray for us while we're witnessing. But some saved people will come and they'll want to talk to you for 15 minutes or half an hour, and all the time they're doing it, 20 lost people will walk right by and you won't get to minister to them. So we're not there to fellowship with believers, but we're there to try to spread the gospel. And we like to have you involved in this. Another thing is we do not talk to children alone under the age of 12 and under. We do not talk to children 12 and under alone. If you see little children who are interested, and some are, you must ask them where their parents are. Is your father or mother here? And you must secure the father or mother's permission to talk to them. All right? If you bring a little kid into our booth or into our tent, under that age, you could have us thrown out of the fair for good, and that will be the end of this ministry. Now, I know you're concerned for their souls, and I am too. But we cannot do that. Now, we can say, you know, if your mom or dad will come back and sit with you, we'd be glad to talk with you about this. And this happens sometimes. God does many wonderful things. I remember one worker out at the Hamburg Fair last year led a boy to Christ, and a teen boy to Christ. And he went out and found his sister, brought her back. She got saved, and they went out. They're both teenagers. And they went out and brought their mother and father, brought them back into the booth, and both of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we were able to get a church up in Williamsville, where they live, to follow up on them and to try to keep them growing in the faith. And so we're going to have wonderful things like that. But we're not there to argue. We need to look clean, sharp, casual. You don't want to go out in a suit and tie like this. But some casual, nice, clean clothes. We prefer you not wear jeans, but maybe just some casual slacks and a nice shirt. And ladies have a nice, modest skirt or dress or blouse on. Make sure it's not sheer or anything like that that would be distractive. And you certainly want to brush your teeth, take breath mints, those types of things with you, and be looking good, have a smile, a good attitude. Be sure you do a lot of praying before you get there. Now, the display, a couple things about the display, and certainly it's going to look nicer than what I set up here. I know I went over this last year, I think, but I want to do it again, just so you get some idea before you get there what you're doing. We have a little table set up, and it has a nice covering over it. But it's about this size. It's out in the front. It's not out in the aisle. It's actually in the tent. And then we have on top of it some gospel tracts and display. And I'll get that out here for you if I don't kill myself. And we have different types of gospel tracts. And we try to use ones that are kind of eye-catching. And I'll go through some of these here. And so they're walking by, and they'll see some catchy titles like that, and you can't see them where you're sitting, but I'll go through them, and some of them certainly will be eye-stoppers. And these are here for distribution also, as well as the smileys. We pass out mostly smileys. And then we have an interesting board on the top that we use every year, and some have seen this. You'd be surprised how many still have never seen this question before. But we do have tracts over here, and some of them have interesting titles. Here's one called How to Raise a Brat. How to Raise a Brat, and that will help. That will stop some people in their tracks. Here's one called What to Do When Suffering. Everybody you meet is suffering in some way. Here's a Spanish tract, and out of Dunkirk, there is a pretty large Spanish community. Here's God's Gospel. Here's one that's called Now Showing 2, T-O-O. Very simple tract. You can read it in a minute. Too young to think about God. Too busy to think about God. Too happy to think about God. Too tired to think about God. Too smart to think about God. Too late to think about God. And shows a gravestone. right there. And then there's a couple of Bible verses on the back. Here's one that God really uses. I have two birthdays, do you? I have two birthdays, do you? One of our young ladies wrote this when she was a teenager in the church. And boy, God has used this track, How to Be Saved and to Know It. That's straight to the point. Here's one here that I wrote called, I Believe in Aliens, I Was an Alien. Okay, and the Bible says over in Ephesians 2:12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens and strangers, having no hope and without God in the world. It talks about how we were alienated, Ephesians 4:18, from the life of God to the ignorance of that was in us, and how Jesus Christ, it says in Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So, a little play on words there. Teenagers look at that one often. I believe in aliens. I was an alien. And so we use different gospel tracts. We try to keep these looking neat, have a nice display. And as people are going by, sometimes we ask them, hey, do you know three things God cannot do? Now, many of you have seen this before, but a lot of them haven't. And people get a puzzled look on their face because they've been taught by their religion God can do anything. And so we either ask them, well, check out the doors, or let me show you the doors, and you just start. Don't wait for them. Just start. And once you get to the first one, they'll want to see the next two. Okay? They'll want to see the next two. Number one, God cannot lie. That's something God can't do. And then there's a Bible verse. God that cannot lie. Titus 1 and verse 2. Second door, God cannot change. God cannot change. A Bible verse, Galatians 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. And this one is where you get into the gospel. God cannot let anyone in heaven except they are born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then you try to get into the gospel through there. Have you ever been born again? Do you have any idea what that might mean? And could we just take you a few moments and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven someday? And so we have this, and then of course the tent will be behind, and hopefully there will be a nice display back there. And let's see, Brother Brian, could you come up here just for a minute? One of the, this thing's getting kind of old, but it still works. One of the banners that we have across the back, yeah, just keep going that way with it. This is hanging up across the back. We'll try to clean it up maybe. But as they walk by our tent, we have this banner across the back. And a lot of times when you're passing out tracts or going through this, you can point back to this and say, hey, how would you answer that question? How would you answer that question? What does it say? Are you 50%, 75%, or 100% sure you're going to heaven? And then you wait for them to answer. Now, even if they say 100%, you don't have to believe them. You can say something very kindly like, what gives you that assurance? A lot of times they say, well, I've gone to church all of my life. What conclusion do you come to? Person's lost. They're not on their way to heaven. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he has saved us. The way to heaven is not through church. And then at the bottom it says this, would you like to know how you can be sure? Now a lot of people right there are going to say, well, I don't have any time, I got to get going, you know, I got to find my kids or something like that or whatever. But sometimes people will say, I'd like to be sure. Well, why don't you come back and just have a seat. It'll only take a few minutes. There's no obligation. There's nothing to buy. I just want to share with you just for a few minutes what someone shared with me once in my life, how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. So this is hanging up in the back all the time, and everybody that walks by, even way down the other concourse, can see the big word heaven. And it's effective, and it's a question. Some people say, well, I'm about 75% sure. I'm 50% sure. I'm not sure at all. Well, you know, you can know for sure. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Could I show you a little more just for a few minutes before you go on and enjoy the fair today? And sometimes people will come in. All right, you want to roll that up, brother? So that's in the back. And then when you get them in, you got to know what you're saying. Okay, and right here is where some people get nervous. So we have a booklet that will be there. Of course, there will be Bibles there, large print New Testaments that are already marked, highlighted, tells you where to go using different gospel plans. But also there's a little booklet here that I wrote, and it's called Seven Gospel Presentations to Help Reach Souls. And inside of these, we will have these at the fair. Or you can use a gospel tract. Maybe you're comfortable with a gospel tract, but whatever you do, give an intelligent presentation of the gospel. Don't be wandering around and confusing people. Do a very, very orderly gospel presentation. Now, of course, we're relying on the Holy Spirit. We're relying on the power of God, but God is a God of order. And God makes things clear, and we need to strive to make things clear. So I believe you're better off with some kind of a help, either your New Testament or some kind of a plan or a track, than just hoping you remember. I don't know about you, but there's times where my mind even goes blank now. Boy, what am I supposed to be saying next? So we have this book, and what I've done here is I have compiled seven different gospel presentations to help reach souls. Number one is the ABCs of salvation. And that's a simple one. A, acknowledge that we are sinners. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess or call upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. Following these points are scripture verses and illustrations. To be converted, one must understand with the heart. That's what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 28, it says, lest they understand with the heart and be converted. They got to understand with the heart. So to understand with the heart, they've got to be able to understand point by point what you're going through. You can't just go through and say, do you acknowledge you're a sinner? Yeah. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure. Would you like to call on Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Yeah. Okay, let's pray right now then about that. You got to get them lost. You got to take your time and get them lost. They got to understand why they're calling on Christ is because they're hopeless and they're undone and they need a Savior. So acknowledge that we're sinners. And then there's an illustration here. You can just read it to them. You can even show it to them. Have them read it. Doesn't matter. We're not there to impress people. We're there to try to get them to understand the gospel. B, C. The second one is called the Romans Road to Salvation. I didn't make up these. I think one of them I made up. I just compiled these from being in Christ for 38 years and learning different soul-winning presentations and compiled these, and I've seen these work. The Roman Road to Salvation, where you just take verses from the book of Romans. And stop number one, all have sinned. Stop number two, the wages of sin is death. Stop number three on the Roman road. Jesus loves you and died for your sins. Stop number four. We must make a decision with what we have learned. What will you decide? The four S's to understanding salvation is the third plan. It's broken up into two main subjects, the bad news, the good news. Number one, the sinner. Number two, the sentence. Number three, the substitute. Number four, the salvation. That's one you could use. And then number four is the wordless book. We don't really use that out at the fair because we're not really dealing with kids there. Number five, the four P's, the problem, the plan, the promise, the petition. Number six, God is. God is holy. Number one, God is just. Number two, he's a judge. He must punish sin. It's like any judge must punish criminals. But God is love. Number three. And so we got a few of these, I think, down here if you want to study them out. I gave you one several months ago. And then number seven goes along with our theme, the big question. Are you 50%, 75%, or 100% sure you're going to heaven someday? And then it gives you points. So you don't have to go out there thinking you have memorized some scripture plan and it all depends on your performance. No, not at all. The Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. We need to give them the word of God. It is the word of God that does the work. And so these will be out there, Bibles will be out there, and then there will be those who are experienced at winning souls to Christ. Now, when we're done, and you lead someone to Christ, and that's not that hard either, after you get through the gospel plan, you can say perhaps something like this. You know, I believe that God is everywhere. God is here, and God is in your home. God is at church, and God answers prayer. And before you leave today, would it be all right if I just prayed for you? And then as you were listening to me, as I was sharing with you the gospel, you've seen how you need to call on Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Could I pray for you? And then could I help you and pray with you to help you know how to call on Jesus Christ as your Savior? And a lot of people, times people will agree to that. You can ask them, does that sound like the desire of your heart? Would you like to call on Jesus Christ right now to be your Savior? And many people will say yes. And then after you have prayed for them, Lord, help Bob to understand. And then you just briefly go through the gospel in your prayer that we've all sinned, that Jesus died for our sins, that we can't save ourselves, that we must call on Christ and believe on him and turn from our sin to Christ and ask him to save us. Now, Lord, Bob wants to do that. Help him, Lord. Give him the faith to do that right now. Now, Bob, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if this is the desire of your heart, whether out loud or to yourself, would you just pray and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I asked you to save my soul, and you just go on with a sinner's prayer, and we've been through that before in our training. But then say amen. Then you can say, Bob, you know what, we'd like to stay in touch with you and just maybe send you a little bit of literature to help you understand your decision today. We always have these little clipboards out there with pens laying around. And it says right here, if you could just fill this out for us, we'd like to have a record of your decision. And then on the back, could you write in your own words what you just did? Boy, that's where you're blessed. That's where it's a blessing, when you read those cards and the understanding that some people have of what you just told. It'll bless your heart. And then we keep a record. Now, some say no, and that's understandable. We live in a day where nobody knows who anybody is, and they don't trust people, so that's okay. And you just thank them. Well, thanks for coming in, Bob. Appreciate that. We'll be here all week at the fair. Come back and see us. If you got any friends or anybody that might want to hear this, bring them by. We'd be glad to talk to them, you know, or if they do fill it out, just say thank you. You know, we're going to just send you a letter and a little bit of material, and we hope that you'll understand this is the first of many good things God has done for you. And then we have some gospel literature for new believers. I don't know if I got one down here or not. I don't think so, but we do have one for new believers. No, I don't. I have one there. What to do next. But anyway, our time's about up here. It is up. I was going to ask for questions, but oh my, we'd love to have you help. There's sign-up sheets just beyond the missions display for the three-hour shifts, for the 7 days. We want to encourage you to go by there this morning or tonight and put your name down for a shift. Take a deep breath. Just say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get my feet wet. And you'll never regret it. I started working at fairs at the age of 13. And, boy, what an experience it is. And we want you to do it. And, you know, usually when somebody goes out there, something happens and they say, man, I want to go out there again. Okay, now there are down times, there's slow times. And sometimes there's shifts where nothing happens, and then there's a shift where 15 people will get saved, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. There's no figuring it out. But somebody needs to be there at all times to be a witness. And so please start signing up, and I'll be mentioning this again tonight and all week long so we can have it covered. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for Sunday school. Lord, thy word says we ought to be prepared unto every good work and meet for the master's use.